Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Bob Pompeiani, Paul Alexander hanging on with me for the first segment of the show, and it's rare that we get a chance to do something
together.
I was going
to say, we've done so much together. Except this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we have a chance to do it because there's a lot to get into. But before I do that, Paul, let me tell you what I need to tell you, which is our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865, and by Number One Cochran. Go one better, ride in style with Number One Cochran. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. So, we just got done doing a TV show, BetMGM Steelers Kickoff. A lot to get into. Charlie Batch, Rich Walsh, Jerry Dulac, and myself kicked it all around, and I know you've been doing that here. But, you know, this is one of those games. It's not a must win, but for the Steelers, who have looked bad in three straight games here, they need to get something going here if they're going to make some sort of run here in the playoffs. I don't know that I would expect that, regardless of the opposition, although Houston is a better pathway to that sort of success. But it starts here tonight. Cincinnati has a lot to play for. And I know they want to win this game and put some pressure tomorrow because they won't know anything until tomorrow. So how important is it in your eyes for the Steelers to do it?
Well, I think they, one, have to demonstrate that they can be a legitimate contending NFL team. And right now, the way the Bengals are playing, even though they still stink defensively, Burrow, when you go eight straight games with at least 250 yards and three touchdowns, you have to stop that trend. I mean, especially if you're a defensive team, which that's fraudulent in its own self. I mean, they've been outscored 90-40 the last 3 weeks. 90 points in 3 games.
And we knew going into this season, those 3 games would be kind of a defining moment. And the other teams that had the same exact schedule went 3-0. They went 0-3.
Yeah.
So.
But there should be no passes given for what the Steelers have been doing. And these 2 games coming up, there's a playoff game regardless. As far as the final grade on Tomlin and the decision on Russell Wilson, whether he stays or goes, they happen over these next 2 games. Period. They're going to define everything. So everyone that wants to know what to do right now, nothing. Because Mike Tomlin can make a pretty good acquittal of himself with a win tonight and then a win in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that would be after the first playoff win in 8 years, everyone has to kind of back off a little bit and say, hey, that's a good year. You know, you get 12 wins and you win a playoff game, I'm off. I mean, I'm on the Mike Tomlin train. I'll get on that moving train, the Mike Tomlin train. If he goes 0-2 here, I'm way off the train.
Well, yeah, if they go 0-2, that'll just extend what has been. You know, we talk about streaks, and even though never having a losing record is a nice streak, never winning a playoff game in a span of 8 years is also a streak, and it has to end at some point. And for that to happen, I think most best chances, at least, are to win here tonight, go to Houston, beat that team, which is not a good team, take advantage of a terrible division they're in, And yeah, they got ripped up last year. I went back and looked at that game the C.J. Stroud
so
had.
Out-coached.
They were. DeMeco Ryans did a very good job.
First year as a head coach.
And it wasn't even close in that game. So I still have my trepidations about no matter where they play. The best case scenario, I think, even though I don't necessarily agree with this down deep, is a home game against the Chargers. But if you remember the first game against the Chargers, it was Justin Herbert who got hurt in that game. I still think they're a dangerous opponent. But at home, I think if you can get a home game and win a home game, now everything at least will put off
the back
burner.
You have a lot of things in your favor. You got a warm weather dome team and hopefully what would be a very cold scenario. And traveling west to east has never done well. You look at the overall record of NFL teams that travel west to east, not good. They lose. So, yeah, I like that scenario. I like that a lot. Herbert, however, if this defense doesn't show marked improvement, he could carve.
Oh, there's no question he can carve. He's carved a lot of good teams.
Yes,
and
he's
capable of especially the way this team is letting off guys run all over the place. And that's one of the things that has to change. You know, you looked at this, and going back to the Philly game, we saw – you know, or not the Philly game, the Ravens game, Andrews and Likely both get open pretty easily. In fact, the one Likely touchdown was as wide open as he can get. And then Travis Kelce, you know what he's capable of doing. So I asked you this about Joe Burrow because I have the utmost respect. I would actually make a case for his MVP status. Yes. I mean, there's some four really good choices. And if Saquon Barkley doesn't win it this year, no running back will ever win it again. But as far as Joe Burrow, I don't know what the best way is to defend him. I've seen him against the blitz, how he can maneuver, create, and dish down the field. I've also seen him pick people apart if you just sit back. I'm not sure what the best way, but I do know this. You have to do something that he doesn't expect.
He's not overly mobile, so I think you need to rush up the middle because he makes a lot of his best throws when he steps up in the pocket. And the Steelers are famous for edge rushers.
But he can step beside it, too.
He does. He
doesn't run, but he slides.
He's almost, I mean, Dan Marino in his prime, he never ran away from anybody.
Right.
But, boy, his movement in the pocket and his quick release, that's all he needed. He didn't have that. Same with Burrow. Burrow doesn't have to run anywhere. He has to set himself and move in the pocket and anticipate where the rush is. Feel the rush. That's something that – and everyone wants to talk about Justin Fields. All the things that Joe Burrow does that makes him great, Justin Fields possesses none of. Feeling the rush, moving in the pocket, stepping up and throwing, eluding this, moving left, moving right, you know, moving people, you know, throwing the ball to areas where only his guy can get it. That's what Joe Burrow does routinely. And it's so foreign to a guy that's not a naturally born gifted quarterback. And that's why, guess what? Justin Fields is twice the athlete of Joe Burrow. Not in arm strength or arm quality, but the way he runs, it's not even close. But who's the better quarterback?
Well, there's no question about that. But I do have a question about quarterbacks since we're talking beyond this season, too. The Steelers have been chasing this situation ever since Roethlisberger retired, and they've gone through a number of people. So they bring in Russell Wilson. I think the plan was that they wanted him to be the guy moving forward. And so far, I think a lot of people would be fine with that, depending on the money. The money is always going to be interesting to see where it goes.
I heard 30.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, I mean, 2 years. I'd go two years and 30.
Well, I think he may win three.
Correct.
Now, if you're going to do that, then you know at some point you're going to keep chasing this quarterback situation because he's at the end of the road, all due respect to his career, which has been terrific. But at some point, that's going to change, and you're going to be back in square one. You got to figure this quarterback thing out somewhere. I mean, legitimately, which brings out all these different possibilities. So we'll throw those around since we're here BSing. And one of them is J.J. McCarthy. I've seen, and I also saw, Pro Football Talk, mention Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not going to go in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, come on. Really? That can't be a possibility. I wouldn't want it to be a possibility, given everything that I've seen. But what about a J.J. McCarthy? Let's say Sam Darnold, or for that matter, Sam Darnold. Let's say he's available, and a lot of people.
I don't think he's going to be available.
Well, first of all, I also think I don't either. But what does that do for J.J. McCarthy then? And do you believe that he's the kind of quarterback who can make a legitimate case for being a franchise in the NFL?
I don't think anyone's seen him enough at the NFL level to know who he's going to be. He has great potential. Potential means one thing: hasn't done it yet. That's all that term really means.
All these quarterbacks have potential coming out of college.
Exactly. And I liked him in college. I think he's a really good player. He's kind of Joe Burrow light. I mean, you know, he's kind of not a runner, but he has good pocket presence, has a good arm, good release. I'd kick the tires if it was for a very low price. I'm not spending a lot of money on J.J. McCarthy. He's done nothing.
No, I agree with that. But that also can help you make your next move.
Correct.
Which, with a quarterback who's not making a lot of money, you can still go out and do things. But I find it interesting. Darnold has been resurrected, and I think he's in a great system with two outstanding wide receivers and a head coach who knows how to systematically create opportunities for him. And he stepped up. He's never. I don't think you ever question his talent.
No.
It's just maybe sort of similar to Justin Fields. A lot of different people getting in his head, seeing ghosts, doing things he shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I think that's going to be an interesting thing. If they don't sign Russell Wilson, I still believe the plan is too. If they don't, though, it leaves open a myriad of possibilities.
And the one thing that they will refuse to do is start over. They're not going to start over at quarterback. They're going
to
try and get someone.
Similar to the Penguins in that regard.
Correct.
Trying to walk this line.
And that's and think about it. They're on the same path. You know, but unlike the Penguins, who still have Sid and Chris and Geno, the Steelers, when they were doing it with Ben, it made sense to me. You know, kicking it down the road, because maybe there's going to be that one miracle season where Ben finds it for one more time. That didn't happen. And now they've been a myriad of mediocrity, and it's just not going to get better until they do kind of. TJ and Cam aren't going to win Super Bowls. I would love them to. I think they deserve to. I think they've been great Pittsburgh Steelers. It ain't going to happen. I'm sorry.
Well, not unless things change dramatically with this, you know, the offense. You got to score a lot more points. Their defense, though, has been a problem. They got a lot of issues to work out, and we'll see what happens tonight. 412-928-9370. I, like you, Paul, like to go to the phone lines a lot because we have people calling us, so why let them wait?
And we love the fans.
Yes, let's go to Steele on the War Streets. Steele, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good. What's
awesome.
Up?
You know, I'm hearing a lot of Tomlin criticisms, of course, and, I mean, you could always say, you know, it always comes down to the QB anyways. You know, if you put Tomlin at the head of the Chiefs, there's a good chance he can, you know, he could have won a Super Bowl in the last couple of years. But – you know, we have to really look at the Steelers and say, hey, what's been happening with the Steelers since Dan Rooney, passed away? I mean, Art Rooney II has been a failure as the owner of the Steelers. I don't think he's overseen a playoff win. And we're going on a better part of the decade. And do we really trust him to not only fire Tomlin, but we're going to trust him to know how to hire a head coach? I mean, Dan Rooney, you know, is the one that hired Chuck Noll and Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. That was Dan Rooney. Okay, he's gone.
Well, before you classify everything as a failure, let me tell you this. I think Art is very much dedicated to winning. Now, there are going to be times when you have to make tougher choices, and I think, to be honest with you, if Dan were still alive, I think he may have been moved on from some people.
Correct.
I don't know if Art is hesitant to do that or not, but I have a great deal of respect for what he's done as an ownership person, someone in, you know, and listen, you can say what you want.
Why do you have respect for him and people aren't having respect for Tomlin? I mean,
I think a lot of people have respect for Tomlin. I think, though, it comes to time where, just like a lot of people who are head coaches, you got to put up results in the games that matter to most. And Art Rooney said so this past offseason. It's about now. It's about winning playoff games. And I think he's legit about that. Yet they still extended Mike, you know. And
exactly.
I have my biggest criticism of Mike, I would be, and thanks to you for the call, Paul, would be just his assistant coaches. I think there are always guys out there who can help you. You have to be a delegator more than anything. And I think Mike Tomlin prides himself on being involved in a lot of this stuff, which is fine. But if it's not working, you need to find yourself some really good head coaches or assistant coaches who can help you as a head coach.
And the irony is, what everyone absolutely loved was Mike's youth, exuberance, and fresh. He was so fresh as a head coach. Youngest head coach in the NFL ever at that time. Now, everything that Mike's doing is really tired and old. I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, all his
life expectancy of head coaches in any sport's not very good.
Jimmy Johnson's in the Hall of Fame. You know how long his career was? 9 years.
Yeah, not
9
surprising.
Years and everything. Oh, what a great head coach. Yeah, that's about how long it lasts. And now you have Mike McCarthy. I'm like, he's so tired. He's so old. He has the same resume as Mike Tomlin, but everyone views him so differently. He hasn't done any work. He's done better than Mike Tomlin over the last 5 years.
Sean Payton's same. Those three together are very similar in what they do.
Correct.
Which also means they
get
a lot of respect.
But there's been movement. They haven't been at the same place.
No, I get it.
People moved away from them.
Right.
And they had success. You got to move away from things that aren't working.
You got to win playoff games.
100%.
It's as simple as that. And they know that here. They got to win playoff games. You can't just keep spiraling this. And the best case you can make to stop people from criticizing you is to win these games.
It's that simple.
And they can. But the problem with them, as I see it, is that they, you know, slow starts. I keep talking about this, and it drives me nuts because it happens more than it should. Almost every single game this year.
That's coaching.
Their offense, right. If you're an offense, your best 15 first plays should come in the first possession you have.
100%.
That's when we should see whatever advanced coaching
you did. What
do
they never do?
Well,
score
a touchdown
in the first drive.
And
ever.
Here's the other thing. Their defensive numbers are just as bad in the first quarter of games.
Worst in the NFL.
And I'm not sure why. I don't know. Do you have an explanation for that? I'm not sure. But bottom line is
they're not
offense,
ready to play.
They're just not. And it cannot happen. And it's happened in playoff games where they've fallen behind and had to dig out. So that's got to change. Let's go to JV in the Penn Hills area. JV joins us now. Bob Pompiani, Paul Alexander at your service, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. On the Steelers MVP, I know 90. You know, I love him. You know, I wouldn't give him up for anything. But Boswell was the money today this year. I mean, his kicking was absolutely stupendous. I mean, 50 yarders were gimmies for him. And my other comment: go Penn State. I mean, I'm not exactly thrilled with their season and their conservativeness. They represent some of the Steelers' inepts in the first half. But I think they got an excellent chance.
Oh, I do, too. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised, JV, thanks for the call, if they win the whole thing. I think they're capable of beating Notre Dame, and then they know Ohio State better than anyone. I expect Ohio State to win. Give them a lot of credit, too, how they've bounced back against two really good teams in Tennessee and then last week against Oregon. They made that look easy.
That was scary to me. I thought Oregon was going to beat Ohio State.
I didn't. I really liked Ohio State.
I liked Oregon, and I couldn't have been more wrong.
I mean, there's a lot to like on their team, except that Ohio State, I think, has better.
I want 15 from Oregon on the Steelers next year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's possible based on how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
But as far as Penn State, I think they're playing, and I love the tandem, Catron Allen along with Singleton. Those two dynamically, they were real good. They did a good job shutting down Genty, which I thought might be a problem. It wasn't. And the other thing is, Drew Aller doesn't have to be a hero back there. Mm-hmm. In that game that we saw the last week, I thought, against Boise State, shows you what he can do. Give me a run game that's good. I can go down the field occasionally and make big plays when I have to.
His, what do we call it now? We used to say he's a great arm. What do you call it? How do they term it now? His arm talent.
Arm talent?
Yeah, his
arm strength.
We call it arm talent now.
Okay.
You got to stay up with the terminology. I try to.
It's all metrically motivated.
His arm talent is stupid. It's so good. I mean, the way he dropped those first two touchdown passes into
The read was unbelievable.
Perfect throws. Just perfect throws.
Back of the end zone, down the field like
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
But the one thing I did see in that game, and you tell me what you saw, but they knew their secondary wasn't very good.
Right.
The only way you can do it is get into his grills. They blitzed an awful lot.
Can.
I don't know what it – if I'm another team looking at that, I may decide to do the same thing, especially if I have better guys in the defensive backfield.
And you look at what Notre Dame does with the run game. I mean, it's going to be a great matchup. It really is, because Penn State shut down the best running back in the country. I mean, they shut him down.
He still got over 100, but it's misleading because he had 30-some carries in it was 1 yard, 3 yards, 4 yards, maybe one run he had over 10 yards, whatever the case may be. But do you see them beating Notre Dame?
I do, too. Because every time, and I remember the first time I was at Notre Dame, you remember the great Darren Perry?
Oh, yeah.
He had a game-clinching interception to knock off then number one ranked Notre Dame. That was so much fun. And then Al Golden, the D coordinator of the Irish right now, had the game-winning touchdown in another big win for Penn State over Notre Dame. The times that Notre Dame was number one in cruising, Penn State knocked them off. I feel good about it.
I do. I think that's a great matchup. It'll be on Thursday. And since you're here, it's funny. I was asking about you and I have a lot in common when it comes to golf. I was so happy you have the Century here, even though it's on yesterday's round because they haven't started here yet.
It's okay.
But what a great place Kapalua is. It's one of the best golf places to go in terms of vistas and views and everything. It's not the best golf course. It's a great golf course.
It's a great golf course.
But they got the views are incredible. And
insane.
If you haven't made a trip there and if you can afford it and have a bucket list opportunity, right? Yeah.
Maui's unbelievable.
Yeah. So.
And that 17th and 18th, the finish, insane.
Especially straight downhill, looking at the ocean with all that beautiful surroundings.
maybe some whales in the background, you know, doing their thing.
Have you ever seen a whale in person?
I have. We took in Maui, that same trip that I played the plantation course, we went to what's the little sunken,
Lahaina?
The sunken volcano.
Oh.
Lakina or something? I think
Lahaina was the thing that got burned up with
that
stupid.
Yeah, they just lost the whole city's gone.
Terrible.
That's
one of the
awful.
Most beautiful, quaint places you'll ever spend time.
So we had choices. They had all activities. And you could either go on a whale watch or go snorkeling in Lakina or whatever the little sunken, you know, the sunken volcano is. Really cool. We chose that. And it turns out on our way there, three whales breach right in front of us.
Ugh.
And we had, you know, buddies, you know, you make friends on these trips. And the people that took the whale watch, Ofer, I felt terrible. So I said, let's not tell anyone. I mean, we don't want to make them feel bad.
No, but it's interesting to see.
It may be the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
wow.
I'd be scared a little bit, to be honest with you. I don't want any whales nearby.
Unbelievable. I mean, imagine an elephant leaping like 12 feet in the air and then landing softly on a mat.
Nope.
That's what whales do.
I know they do. It'd be spectacular to see, but something
so
I wouldn't
I
want
to
be
to
around.
See it. Pomp, that was a blast. Enjoy the rest of your show and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
It's always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll do some golf here coming up in this.
Sooner the better.
We say it every year. It doesn't happen very often, and I don't know why. But I know why, because there's
busy.
Too many things, kids, grandkids, whatever the case may be. But anyway, it was fun.
A blast. Thank you.
Maybe we can do it again sometime.
We will.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
I'm not as nuts
I know
as
your
Joe.
Son. Is your son going to go to the next game?
He's not
he
sure
was
yet.
At, I
he's
heard
not
you
sure.
Say,
he was at the Fiesta Bowl.
And he loved it.
And he's going to go. If Penn State makes it to Atlanta, he's going there no matter what, whether he gets to cheer or not.
Yeah.
He's a senior. This is it.
This is it. You got to do what you got to do.
And he loved the Fiesta Bowl.
I wish, looking back, that I would have done more of what I wanted to do. But again, the price and the, you know, all that stuff factors
in,
too.
It ain't easy. I was lucky that I got to do all that because I was writing for the student paper.
Right.
I got to cover all of it.
That's pretty awesome.
That was cool.
All right, Paul Alexander,
right, Paul.
Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to the callers here at 412-928-9370. I failed to mention Joel Nelson, even though he gave a hey, Bob, at the beginning, is behind the glass, and I will forever hold you responsible for that. Call us. Let us know what you think until 3 o'clock, and then we have another pregame show, don't we? What's coming up at 3 o'clock? Oh, we got something else, I think, don't we?
Yeah, pregame from Rivers.
It's
Donnie,
from the Rivers
Jason
Casino,
Mackey
yeah. Jason Mackey, Mark Caballi, and Donnie football all coming up. So we got a whole afternoon of this stuff as the Steelers get set to take on the Bengals. We'll be back with more of your calls right here, 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, we're back with more. Thanks to Paul Alexander for hanging over and overlapping into this program today. Coming up at 3 from the Rivers Casino, Donnie Football, along with Jason Mackey and Mark Caballi. Don't forget about the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. We're on tomorrow night at 11:35 on KDKA-TV. We always wrap up the week and a lot of interesting topics, no doubt about it. On the program tomorrow will be Ray Fittipaldo, Mike DeCourcy, and Jason Mackey. So that's tomorrow at 11:35 KDKA. In the meantime, we have a lot to talk about here at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter. It's at KD Pomp about this game tonight. And I want to talk a little bit real quick before I go to the lines here about Joe Burrow and what this season has been like for him. They were 3-8 at one point. They were given a very little percentage for, you know, to being in this position, but here they are with 42 touchdowns and just 8 interceptions. He's number one in just about every category. And this includes, you know, what you see from Lamar Jackson and, you know, Allen in Buffalo and who else? Anyone else, even Mahomes. I found it interesting that Patrick Mahomes did not make the Pro Bowl, though. And, yeah, I know why. Because, you know, Allen, Jackson, Burrow, they're all having an unbelievable season statistically. But if you really want to look at a guy who, and he'll use this as motivation in the playoffs when they play at Arrowhead Stadium, there's no question about that. They're 15-1. And while his numbers aren't as good as these other guys, look at what he does in crunch time of fourth quarters of close games. They've played a ton of close games this year, and they've been able to win games because of him. Now, this is a statistical thing more than anything else, but man, Patrick Mahomes not making a Pro Bowl team on a season where they went 15-1, and he is responsible for as many fourth quarter wins as he was, that's crazy to me. But that's just the way it is. It also opens up the conversation about MVP of the NFL. And quite frankly, Saquon Barkley should be getting much more support. And if he doesn't win, which I doubt he will, then you can say never again will a running back win this award. Never again. It's just not going to happen because you can't have a better season than he's having. He's within striking distance. I always hope because we have the game tomorrow between Baltimore and the Giants on at 1 o'clock KDKA. I was hoping he'd have a chance to go against his former team and get that record at their expense, but that's not going to happen. Back to the phone lines we go at 412-928-9370. Mike in Fort Wayne, Indiana is on the air right now. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man?
Doing good. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about slow starts, and I'm just pointing out what everybody sees here. I don't. To me, right behind George Pickens, I think our second most lethal offensive weapon is Warren. So I guess I just don't understand why Najee Harris, this has been 2 years in the making. We've been talking about why is Jaylen Warren not starting out in the backfield to begin the game. Maybe the reason why the slow starts is because we have a running back. I hate to say it, half the time it seems like he has a hard time getting back to the line of scrimmage in there.
Yeah, he's just a different type of runner. I don't know if that contributes to it. It's part of the problem. When you want to establish a run-first mentality and be a physical run team, if you don't have success on first and second down, you're oftentimes looking at a three and out. And when that happens, it changes a lot of dynamics.
Just questioned that, you know, I feel like we're treating him like he's Earl Campbell.
No, they're not, because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, Mike. I think he won't be around next year, most likely. And I give him a lot of credit for this, though. He knew that going in, and he has not, cheated them in any way. He plays hard, he runs angry. I think, to your point, Jaylen Warren has gotten more snaps over the last four games for a reason. He is
right.
Now, my question to him long-term is, can he handle 17 games as a feature running back, as the number one
cow,
the bell
cow?
I don't know either. They're going to have to redraft that position for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But I guess it's just, I think the one statistic, I think during the Philadelphia game, I don't know if you remember this, but they showed a statistic where I think the Steelers were number two in the league in carries, okay, but number 29th in total yards. I'm like, as far as running yards, and I was like, man, that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, that it's, quite frankly, it's not working what we're doing right now.
Yeah, no question, and it has to be better. The one thing I fear tonight is that they're going to get into the mindset of, you know, because it's cold, run the football, all that stuff, and maybe they can be successful with that. But if it doesn't go well, and Cincinnati, which has been better over the last several games and defensively as well as taking the ball away, you know, then you're going to play into Cincinnati's hands, I think. I still think their defense is bad enough where they should be able to do what they did in the first game, which is they should be able to throw the ball down the field against this defense. And yeah, I wouldn't go away for that just because it's a cold game.
Sure.
The wind may change, and that may be different, but...
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Everybody keeps talking about how we really would rather go to Houston. We'd really rather do this. And I just want to point out is I felt pretty good when Cleveland was coming to town in the playoffs, and I felt really good when Jacksonville...
You can feel good about all of them, and it didn't work out that way.
No.
I think you understand the context of it, though, Mike, right? Because they're not as good of a team right now, and you don't want to play Baltimore. I'm sorry. People out there who think, okay, the Steelers have their way with Baltimore, they have. But this is now a different kind of Baltimore setup with Derrick Henry back there, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing is for sure probably is that everybody wants to play Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if Baltimore wants to play Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. Thanks for the call, Mike, in Fort Wayne.
Right,
we appreciate it. Baltimore may not want to have with that at all because of how the Steelers have defended them. So, yeah, I would disagree there. I think Baltimore doesn't want the Steelers, even though I think they're the better team right now. Ryan in New Jersey is on the air right now. Hey, Ryan, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Not a bad effort by the old Penguinos last night. Unfortunate they didn't get, you know, the extra point, but I'll take that. Please don't show up in Carolina tomorrow and get destroyed like every other time.
Carolina's been struggling, though, you know. They're not the same as they were last year.
Not against the Penguins. Jeez.
Yeah, no, they've owned
anyway,
me right.
Bob, not a fan of the whale watching, are you, huh?
I like whale watching from a distance. Don't get me wrong. I think it's interesting.
Okay.
Just like I like lava flows from a distance. I don't want to be next to them.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's a good one. The last one we went on was in Victoria, British Columbia, so near Vancouver last summer. And my son and I went on one, and it was like a high-speed boat. They go fast, and then you have to stop to give them distance by law. So we saw a bunch of different things, but on the way back into the harbor, there was a pod of 8 killer whales literally like 50 feet away breaching. So that might have given you a little bit of agita, trust me. But anyway, I'm actually calling about my nits. I never, ever, ever predict them to win a game, certainly not a big game ever. But from where I'm sitting, and I know I'm going to be wrong about this, but here's the thing. All those top 5 recruiting classes that Franklin's got, this is where it should matter, because they should be a more talented roster than Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not big up front on the lines. Penn State, when they lose to Ohio State and Michigan, they get ground down on the offensive and defensive lines. So this is where, and the caveat is, as long as the coaching staff and Drew Aller, who doesn't seem like the most mentally with it quarterback I've ever seen, as long as they don't lose it, I think they're going to get to the finals, and then they'll get their faces ripped off by Ohio State.
See, I'm not convinced of that, Ryan. I'm not. I think they know Ohio State. They should have beaten them this year, to me. I don't think they're the better team, but I think they know how to play them.
Yeah, but they tighten up every time. That's the problem.
Yeah, but they would have a different – this would be a different mental setup. This is you're the underdog, and people don't expect you to be here. They could utilize that for their advantage and maybe get this whole monkey off their back with the monkeys turning into a gorilla now. It's so big because they haven't beaten any of these teams. They need to do it, and maybe this is the way for it to happen.
Well, Notre Dame's big advantage is their coaching staff is incredibly good. So they could certainly game plan and scheme to get around Franklin, perhaps. But really, Penn State should have a pretty good chance of mauling them for the majority of the game and win a close one. As far as if they show up in Atlanta and they play Ohio State, let's assume Ohio State's going to get through because they're obviously the best team right now. They would need to let it fly. That's what Penn State, since the old man, will never do. They will never just go in there, let it rip, and say, hey, if we're going to lose, let's lose, but let's throw everything at them and see what happens. They just never do it, and I think that's their Achilles heel. But, man, if he could win these two games, he would basically sneak a national title, which is insane because of the way the bracket's set up, because they're going to change it. It's not going to happen again this way.
No, it won't, just because of what you saw.
Fire your shot right now. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right, Ryan, thank you. I don't know what they do with conference championship games then. If they don't matter, then they're gonna have to get rid of them. But that's such a big money making thing that you can't afford to do that if you're these bowls and you know, college football in general. The money they make from championship games are interesting. I don't know, they're gonna have to redo it though. You can't have teams get first round buys who aren't worthy of them. And sorry, Boise State and Arizona State were not worthy of them. All due respect for what they did. Let's go out to Sacramento, California. We have Nick in Sacramento. What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Hey, Bob. And if you know your partner Paul is still there, I call you guys a lot. And when I hear people call, I'm not trying to make this about the caller. Okay, I just want to just get a real quick off and go into my call. Don't blame the Roonies. I'm sorry. This team, the last 3 weeks, this blame has so many different elements. I mean, the arm tackling, the not finishing of plays, the lack of discipline on and off the field, the way players are acting. One in particular, we know who that is. I don't want to waste a call on that either. This team has to go play like they did a year and a half ago. I know a year and a half makes a big difference, but you have some of the same defensive players out there. When they sacked Joe Burrow, what was it, 7 times that one game? Mm-hmm. I hope they watched that film, how to attack Burrow. Do you remember that game when we went in there?
Sure. They've had their way with Cincinnati largely, yes. But
exactly. So, I mean, all these things about, oh, we're going to give them a pass and this and that, and all these different scenarios, and bring in the weather. The Steelers got to put up or shut up. I mean, I'm being blunt about it. I've been a fan all my life, like everybody else. But, I'll leave it at that. And I guess the biggest thing, I'm really curious of what's going to happen. We keep talking about the playoffs. Okay, great. I have friends out here that are big-time Charger fans. And last night, they know what they're saying to me? They're saying, hey, I hope you guys lose so we don't have to play Baltimore. Everyone is scared of Baltimore. I welcome Baltimore because we play. I mean, it is what it is, right? But do I want to go to Baltimore? No. I don't know. I just hope that the Steelers play today. I hope they come out and show that resilience. The key word is resiliency. Can they snap out of this funk they're in? And, gosh, yeah. I mean, what is this whole – well, I'm sorry, Bob. Go ahead.
I was just saying thanks, Nick, because I'm up against a break. One final thing. What did you want to say? Well, sorry about that. But I do appreciate the call, Nick, and I agree with what you're saying, too. It's time to put up or shut up when it comes to that. More than anything, they need a good effort tonight just to carry that and give them something positive to go into next week. And then we'll find out what day they play next week, which is always interesting to find out. But yeah, as much as I know the Steelers have had success against Baltimore, I don't want that matchup. Number one, because it's down there. Number two, because I think they're playing at a level right now that Lamar Jackson, you can make a really good case that he should be a third-time MVP, even more so than Josh Allen. I don't think he will win it. I think Josh Allen will, but there's a case to be made. We have Rob, Dave, Jerry, and Steve on the line. We'll take a break, come back with your calls and more up until 3 o'clock right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Joel Nelson behind the glass, taking your calls here at 412-928-9370. Bob Pompeiani with you until 3 o'clock, and that's when we send it over to the Rivers Casino. Donnie Football, along with Jason Mackey and Mark Caboli, with their pregame thoughts about this big game coming up. And it's big because the Steelers want to get things right and move on, and you never know. First game is coming up at 4:30. I do know this. I can't expect Cleveland to win at all. It's up to a 20-point spread now, Joel. And they have Bailey Zappe. Now, I remember Bailey Zappe here last year, what he did, and he came to Pittsburgh on a Thursday night, and they won. And I think it was Hunter Henry who had a hat trick for Hunter Henry of touchdown passes in that game. But my goodness, Cleveland has every reason to lose. I think they're in a prime position to get a top five draft pick, maybe three overall. They don't want to win, and unless, you know, you're trying to just really disrupt Baltimore, but I don't think they can do it, you know? It's just, I've never seen a point spread this big featured on a Saturday primetime game.
Me neither, Bob. It tells you the state of the Browns, and it tells you the state of the Ravens right now.
There's no question about that. By the way, the state of our show is, it's brought to you by PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Also by Number One Cochrane, where you always get a great ride. Ride in style at Number One Cochrane. Real quick before I go back to the Lions, the game of the weekend, of course, is for the number one seed in the NFC. You've got two of the best, Minnesota at 14-2, Detroit 14-2. Detroit's been beset with all sorts of injuries. They could use the number one seed more so than Minnesota, but, you know, two quarterbacks that haven't gotten enough attention, Jared Goff and Sam Darnold. Another guy is Baker Mayfield, 39 touchdown passes. I thought he was going to be a Pro Bowler in the NFC, was not. He, like Mahomes, didn't get that nod. Darnold is a guy you can actually make a case, even though most people won't, for MVP of the league based on the numbers he's put up. But he's had a great system in Kevin O'Connell, who I think should be the NFL Coach of the Year this year, with two great wide receivers. And he's going to command some money. He's going to be out there if they don't sign him because they have J.J. McCarthy. A lot of great sub-stories in the NFL coming up in this offseason. Back to the Lions we go, and we have Dave in Rankin joins us first right now. What's up, Dave? How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you been? Happy New Year. It's been a while.
You too. Thank you.
I heard you and Paul talking earlier, and Paul and I are on the same page. And the previous caller said, don't blame the Rooneys. Well, I blame the Rooneys because Tomlin stole the head coach. You know, last year, and, tonight's a big game and all, but last year, Mason Rudolph didn't pull those three games out of his you-know-what. I think Tomlin might have been on the chopping block. But here we are. Now we got another three-year extension. I think he's proven that he's limited in what he can do, especially when it comes to playing elite teams. But honestly, I will consider it progress. I think they had a great start against not a real tough schedule. The tough schedule has been lately. But I think that if he wins a game in the playoffs, I'll give him kudos, and I think he should hang around for at least another year. What do you think?
Well, I think the pressure's on to win it. Yeah, no question. Thanks, Dave, for the call. But I don't think there's going to be a move one way or the other. I think Art Rooney is very much in his corner on this and believes in the stability process they have. It comes down to winning postseason games. Simple as that. Their regular seasons, you can make whatever you want of them. And I know people get tired of talking about that streak, but it's nationally looked at as one of the more unique things you've ever seen. But the corresponding streak is lack of wins in the postseason. They can take care of that this year. And again, by winning, you set up Houston. I think that's a better matchup for me. I would take it, even though Houston beat them down in Houston last year. Listen, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things. Poor starts, which are a reflection of coaching. No question about that. They got to come out, and their offense should have their best game plan going into a first quarter of a game. That's when you should see different things, and based on what your research shows you about the other team's defense. And I think sometimes they get too enamored with trying to force that run game. And tonight would be a perfect case where I think they may try to do that again. And if it's successful, fine. You know, you will keep Joe Burrow off the field. But if it's not, you're going to give him opportunities. I think sometimes I still look at the matchup this way as saying that Pittsburgh can have success down the field against Cincinnati's secondary, and I would not go away from that. I think that's a big thing. Now, George Pickens has got to have a big game. George Pickens has got to mature himself a lot in some of these things that he hasn't been able to handle with. But Pat Freiermuth should be targeted at least 10 times tonight. He had big success the last time they played. To me, it would not be a good coaching look if he doesn't get 10 targets in that range because he's that important to them. Jerry is in Ford City, and he's now on the Fan. What's up, Jerry? How are you? Hello, Jerry. Are you there? Well, you're on, but I don't hear you, Jerry. You may have your phone on mute or something. So I'll give you one last chance. Jerry, answer the phone or we're moving on. All right, Jerry. Don't hear you. So we'll go to Steve. Steve in San Diego. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Good. What's up?
Not too much, man. I'm just chilling out here in San Diego. It's sunny and beautiful. But, yeah, no, watching the Steelers, I just see that there needs to be a more defense presence than there is an offense presence and so forth.
What do you mean by that? I mean, they haven't played well these three games. They've given up 8 touchdown passes and 3 straight losses. I get that. But what specifically are you talking about?
There needs to be more of an inside rush and get to the quarterback and so forth and whatnot.
All right, Steve.
I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay. I get your point, and thanks for the call. I think pressure up the middle is always a good thing. You force a quarterback to then vacate his pocket area, which for Joe Burrow has been his main weapon of operation. He loves to stay in there if he can. He will slightly maneuver to step up into the pocket and create throws down the field. He's very good at that, too. You know, I think the best way is to confuse him. You can confuse all quarterbacks. I don't care how good they are. There's a way to do it. He has to see things or not, you know, see things that he hasn't seen all season long. Do something exotically once in a while. And this brings us to Minka Fitzpatrick, who is a pro bowler this year. And I heard Minka's comments after he got selected, and he was almost, saying, well, I'm a little surprised by this because he didn't have the kind of statistical year. He got it from reputation. I think that's a fair assessment. And he's been asked to do something different. This would be the kind of game, though, I'd like to see him, or in the playoffs, do something that we haven't seen all year. He has the skills to do it. He has Polamalu-esque ability, and I would want to put that into work in my favor. So manning center field is one thing, but trying to create plays and turnovers in the last two games, the Steelers have not generated any. You got to do that. And if it takes doing something you haven't done all year, so be it. Rob in O'Hara Township is on the Fan right now. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's going to be a big night of celebration here in Pittsburgh. I'm sure you're aware of the historical value of this game. This is going to be Mike Tomlin's last home game coaching. And I'll tell you the reason why I say that. I've been saying for weeks they're going to lose out. This time, at the end of the season, when they're coming off a 5-game losing streak, Art Rooney ain't going to be able to go up to the news conference and put on his best Jimmy Stewart face and tell us it's a wonderful life. I have never seen a coach in all my years set players up for failure the way Mike Tomlin has.
Give me a specific what you're talking about.
Well, here, let's just talk Kenny Pickett. He brings him in the second half. The guy had no first string snaps all week. That's one example. He drafts Najee Harris the 1 year number one. We need a center, and instead of taking a center, we take a non-blocking tight end named Pat Freiermuth. When the center that was available, Creed Humphrey, ends up being all pro his first year.
But you also have, Rob, in this situation, you can make all the arguments like that, and I get it. I mean, they could have taken Lamar Jackson over Terrell Edmonds, but they didn't. You have needs. You have things you need to do. I think Freiermuth, I don't have necessarily a problem with that. Because I think he's a very serviceable guy, and I want to see him. You talk about not utilizing guy. I want to see him use him a lot more. As far as Najee Harris, that was a controversial pick from the get-go, just because I don't know that he was going to be that guy who was going to have, you know, the Saquon Barkley kind of impact or the Christian McCaffrey kind of impact. And to me, if you're going to draft a running back, that's what you need. Up against the break, Shane or Rob. Thank you. I got to get to it, but I appreciate what you're saying. I will say this. If they win tonight and win in Houston, a lot of people will change their minds. They have to do it. They have to get a playoff win this year to take pressure off of everyone in the organization. But Mike Tomlin will be back as head coach. I don't think that's going to change. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're also going to talk a little bit. We should talk about Pitt basketball. And I have a question for you, Joel, if you can research this. Why does Joe Lenardi not have Pitt anywhere in his NCAA tournament field? I think I saw that, and I want to make sure I'm right on that. But double-check it for me in the break, and we'll see, because I think at 11-2, they've shown that they can be one of the better teams in the ACC. They've already had some nice wins, and I think you're going to see another one tonight, even though they're shorthanded against Stanford. So that's all coming up later today here on 93.7 The Fan. We're taking a break. Come back. Joel has a headline. More calls on the way until 3 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Back in a flash. It is our number two of the program here at 412-928-9370. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Also, we are running on number one Cochrane. Go one better, ride in style with all the great dealerships they have around Western Pennsylvania and Ohio at number one Cochrane. The text line, you could call it, same as the call-in number at 928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates present that to you, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. I want to not overlook Pitt because I think the start at 11-2 is a good one. We have their game coming up against Stanford. They just took on Cal. Who would have thought the first two home conference games are against teams 3,000 miles away or whatever it is? But they come cross-country to play. Pitt is shorthanded a little bit, but still, I asked Joel Nelson, and you can give me the answer here. I thought I saw something where Joe Lenardi did not have Pitt in the field, but you're telling me that is updated and it's not correct, that they are in the field. Where are they?
They are a number six seed playing in the Wichita, Kansas portion of the bracket, according to Joe Lenardi, in what looks like the South region. And they would take on Texas Tech, an 11 seed in that game.
All right, 6-11, that's a pretty good matchup, I think. And they should be that kind of team based on what we've seen. Let's go out to Brian in Fox Chapel, joins us and wants to talk about Pitt Panther basketball. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
You gave me a little anxiety there. I had to pull over and check the Lenardi.
I saw one that was not updated, and this is an update. So, obviously, This is a fluid thing. And sometimes I wonder if it's even worth talking about because there's so much basketball left to be had. You know, I'm watching Arkansas take on Tennessee right now. John Calipari's team is 11-2, and he had to scrap his entire roster once he got over there.
No, that's all right. I just, after going through last year where, you know, that Pitt team should have been in the tournament.
Totally.
But I think they're on a mission this year. They are shorthanded. You know, they're playing without two starting guards. And, you know, my question is, where are the crowds? You know, I mean, this program is 3 years in a row. This has been a fun team to watch. It's a great atmosphere down there. You know, I'm just surprised. I mean, I go to all the games. I'm just surprised the crowds haven't
What did they have the other night, by the way? I wasn't there. I was watching it, though. It didn't look very filled. What was the attendance?
They announced 7,000, and it was a pretty energetic crowd in the second half. But
students yet, though, too, right? They're not back, or they weren't, at least.
No students. The classes start Wednesday, so there might be more students tonight. But yeah, I mean, it's great value. It's a really fun team to watch.
I agree, and there should be more. But, you know, I think there's something about where that basketball arena is and trying to get to it in Park. I still hear a lot of people talking about that. But, listen, it's worth a value, and you're going to see some pretty entertaining basketball. So hopefully people will start taking note of it, especially if they can keep winning their home games, and they got another one tonight against Stanford.
Well, Bob, on the parking point, I completely agree. They should have – I mean, there is parking. I mean, I remember going to Pitt Stadium, and they somehow 60,000 people would get there, and there was probably less parking then. But they should have addressed parking instead of building, and I think this was one of the big mistakes by Heather Like, instead of building that wrestling and volleyball arena, they should have put everything into the Peterson. You already have the money sunk into that. Mm-hmm. They could have played all those sports there, made it an active facility, saved the debt that they're in, and addressed parking, and then addressed the on-campus football stadium eventually, which is badly needed.
I got you, Brian. Thanks. I hope you enjoy the game tonight, and we'll see if Pitt can get to 3-0 in the ACC. Top of the board we go. It's Simon in Pittsburgh. Simon says what?
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
What's up, Simon?
So there's sort of a lot of talk that I've been hearing, especially on the radio, about, you know, Tomlin not being the right coach and firing Tomlin. And I do think there should be something said about how he's developed quarterbacks. First with Mason Rudolph, he was supposed to be Ben's predecessor. That didn't work out. Didn't work out with Pickett either. But I don't think that, like, firing Tomlin, if we lose out this season, is the right move just yet. I say you should let Wilson walk and see what Tomlin can do with Fields, because I think he's a better talent than Pickett and Rudolph was. But if he can't really crack that either, then I think that's where you sort of let go of Tomlin and try to find someone better who can develop a real franchise quarterback.
Well, I think, Shane, you hit upon something, or Simon, you hit upon something interesting there, because this whole offseason will be what will they do with their quarterback situation. And even if they bring back Russell Wilson, it cannot be long term. So at some point you have to reanalyze this whole position and come up with answers that are not just, right. You don't want to get into this, you know, like the Colts have done with veteran after veteran after veteran, 1 year deals here and there. Draft a guy who may not be as good as you think in Anthony Richardson. They got to hit on this at some point. I don't know if it happens now, and maybe because they don't have options available to them because of where they draft or in free agency, that maybe they'll sign Wilson for a couple of years. I wouldn't put a lot of money into Wilson. I know this because, as I keep saying, Father Time wins out, and some of these older quarterbacks sooner or later start going the other way quickly.
Yeah.
But what would you do? I mean, I'm okay with Wilson in a couple of years, but if he wants more than that and more money, I don't know if I'd go there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the next two games are going to show a lot about what they'll do with the quarterback situation. I think if we lose out, lose the Bengals, lose in the first round, I don't think they should bring back Wilson at all, even if it's cheap. I would bring back Fields on a cheap deal and see if they can sort of develop him into a guy. Even if he's just a bridge, I think there's more meat on that bone. And that's what I would do. And if that doesn't work out either, and Tomlin can't turn him into a quality starter, that's when I would think you would look at other coaching options and say, who can bring you and develop you a real franchise quarterback?
Thank you, Simon. Appreciate your take at 412-928-9370. I do think that is going to be a very intriguing question. And there are so many quarterback rooms around the NFL that will change and have changed and will change again. We mentioned earlier, we're talking to Paul about Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy, and what do they do? Do they sign Darnold? Darnold, I'll say this about him, and that should be a great game tomorrow night, by the way, 14-2 versus 14-2, probably the biggest regular season game, given what's at stake, ever on a Sunday night. But, you know, do you ignore the fact that, you know, Sam Darnold's in a nice position? They saw a lot of him and liked what they saw, but in that offense with Kevin O'Connell doing the shot-making, and also two of the better wide receivers in Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, not to mention Hockenson is their tight end. They got a lot of weapons there, and he's taking advantage of that. But can he operate that way if he went to another team? You know, you could play the hypothetical game. What if Pittsburgh wanted to sign him? I mean, there's a lot of money involved. He's still young enough where he can be that guy, but he also has shown in the past that he may not be that guy. Let's go out to Shane in Swissvale. Shane, you're on the air right now. What's going on, man?
The name is James.
Okay, sorry. It says Shane. My bad.
And I wanted to talk about Tomlin a little bit. And I know people have been down on him, but I believe rightfully so. Anybody with an eye that could see the game, like the last two games against Kansas City and Baltimore, we were down two scores from Baltimore, and we were down three scores from Kansas City, and we had 11 minutes on the clock. And this is a coaching thing. Where, how come we don't pass the ball to the sidelines and people stop the clock? How come we don't run out of bounds when we're in that situation to stop the clock? That is very bad clock management, and that's been going on for over 10 years with Mike Tomlin. And people could dispute it, but the facts are on film. And also, he had bad, bad player management. We have lost a lot of good, great players, receivers, running backs, bad because we drafted these players. And there's nobody that got a head on their shoulders that could manage these kids to understand what they need to
do.
First of all,
and thanks for the call, James. That's not been the case with a lot of guys. Put the blame on where it belongs with some of you're talking about. Now, if you discipline them earlier, I understand that whole thing. But at some point, the player has to recognize his own faults and deal with them. Okay, there have been a lot of guys who've come through here, and you say, well, they let them go away. What has Chase Claypool done since he's gone away? You know, what did Martavis Bryant do since he's gone away? They're talented guys. And first and foremost, as a football team, yeah, you want to have good players and nice personality guys who are good for the community. But you got talent. They drafted talented guys. Those talented guys also come with some issues, it looks like. The diva quality in wide receivers, generally speaking, there's a lot of it going on, and we see it even now with George Pickens. That's also got to be your own accountability as a player person. You got to do that. I don't know where George Pickens' future will be. I don't know if it's going to be here or not. I have my doubts. He's a second-round pick, so there is no fifth-year option, right, Joel? I think he has one more year left after this, and that's it. They don't have to do anything. They can keep him here, he's going to want a new deal at some point. That's another question that has to be answered, as is the running backs, as is a lot of things on their team. They have to make decisions based on financing. Anyway, let's go back to the lines. You have Sam in West Mifflin who joins us right now. Hey, Sam, what's going on? Sam. I don't know what Sam's doing. He may have gone to the bar to get a drink. It sounds like he's in a bar. All right, Sam. Last chance. All right. Bye, Sam. Let's go to Jim in Jefferson. What's up, Jim? How are you?
Hi, Bob. Always enjoy your shows.
Thank you.
I just want to mention the gentleman that was talking about the parking. There is parking available. Of course, there's a cost center up by the OC lot in the back off of Aliquippa Street, and then they have shuttles that run you down to the Peak. But they also have shuttles that run from Lower Oakland, for example, Soldiers and Sailors. So you can park at Soldiers and Sailors lot, hop on a shuttle, and come right up to the Peak. They leave you off right in front of the place. So parking shouldn't be an issue. And there are seats available. Now, the one thing that they're talking about doing, which I'm not in favor of, is talking about reseating the Peak this year. In other words, they take all their season ticket holders and then reassign you a seat. Now, when we first went up there, and I've been a season ticket holder for 51 years in football and basketball, okay? Not quite that long in basketball, but a long time going back to the Fitzgerald, okay? But when they opened the Peak, we got a chance to pick the seats we wanted. Now, we were reseated a couple of times. We moved up a little bit. We have nice seats now and the club seats, and we love them. But if you're going to do that to your season ticket holders, I know several season ticket holders that aren't real happy about talking about reseating them. They've got the seats they want. They've been paying for them for a long time. Leave them alone in this reseating crapola. Because what happens is you get some corporations that come in, et cetera.
Yeah.
They want to buy seats, better seats. So they displace the people that are longtime supporters of this program for that. And then it ends up, those seats go empty a lot of times. And it looks like heck. Okay?
Yeah,
and I just don't want to see that happen.
You're right. The corporations have money to spend, and they're willing to do it at lump sum prices. And they'll get a lot of them. And so it does make it difficult. I mean, I see that at all sporting endeavors, not just here, but in other situations where, you know, they take the ordinary fan who's been supportive of all these years and they don't give them first dibs on some of this stuff. So I understand that. But thanks for the call about the parking situation, Jim. I appreciate that.
Hey, I want to mention something about Lenardi, too,
okay.
If you're still there.
Yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, my theory on that last year was, Lenardi's got a tie-in with ESPN, and so do a few of those other boys. They wanted to have some better teams to go into the NIT. The NIT is on ESPN as opposed to the NCAA on CBS. They needed some good teams in that deal. And I think Pitt was one of the ones that wanted in there, when there were a couple others. What is Indiana? Well, it turned out that didn't work out for those boys because those teams said, we're not playing in the NIT. So I gotta wonder if that had anything.
TV always has something to do with it. There's no question about that. So I'm not going to comment whether or not I think that's the case or not, because I don't know. All I know is that TV will define who gets what and where you play and how you play. But thanks for the call, Jim.
Sure.
Appreciate that. 412-928-9370. I'm asking this question now because I get a lot of people who, it's funny, the Twitter takes are interesting. You're going to get people who think there are certain teams that are going to make runs here and win a Super Bowl, others are not. My first thing here is, because I don't have time to respond to everybody, I wish I did, I don't. But Joel, I think if I'm going to look at the teams, people just do not want to give Kansas City enough. I know they're tired of Kansas City, but people make it sound like Kansas City won't have a shot because their offense hasn't shown much. They don't score in the 30s, which they haven't. It's a really interesting dynamic that they have yet to score a game into the 30s, and yet they're 15-1. But if you're going to tell me that you think Kansas City won't survive in advance in this tournament, I'm going to have a hard time believing it. They're playing two games at home where they've been historically very good in these situations. Can Buffalo get in there and win? Yes. Can Baltimore go there? Yes. But don't make it sound like they're going to be underdogs, because they won't be. They're at home with Patrick Mahomes under center, with Andy Reid as their play caller and their head coach. And I think you got to give Kansas City more of a due than people are giving it. The hot team to pick is Baltimore. I get it. They're playing very well. Buffalo also. Buffalo can be really good. Is there a surprise team in the AFC? Joel, if you had to pick one team that could be a surprise, would it be Denver? I don't even know if they're going to beat Kansas City tomorrow. Kansas City may not play a lot of guys, but they still are good enough and well coached enough they can go in there and win.
It absolutely is.
Chargers, is that a team?
Bob. Yeah, if it's not Baltimore or Buffalo, I really don't know who else can take down Kansas City, the two-time defending champions.
And they're going to get rest, and they need it.
They're going to rest all their guys. As long as they have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and they're going in there at either 16-1 or 15-2, with just the one loss being all the backups, I have no other explanation as to why they would not win their first game.
Yeah, I don't care who it's against, right? It doesn't matter. They're at home. They normally do well there. I think their defense is better than people think. Chris Jones now will be back for the first playoff game.
15-1 is 15-1.
It is. And like I said, Mahomes doesn't get a spot in the Pro Bowl. Not that he cares, but he could use it as motivation moving into this. They have a lot that they want. That carrot's out there. They could be the first team ever to win three in a row. I think they're going to be highly motivated for it, so I wouldn't discount them altogether. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation about the Steelers and the Bengals. What kind of game do you expect tonight? Who has to step up for the Steelers? And how desperate is Cincinnati? And will you see that in their play? Because they have to win. They have to win, and they have to hope some things happen tomorrow, one of which is Kansas City losing to Denver. 412-928-9370. Doug, hang on. You'll be first up in the next block as we continue to roll along right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. With Joel Nelson behind the glass, Bob Pompeiani here at 412-928-9370. Hit us up on Twitter. Mine is at KD Pomp. Our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Very efficient. They do a great job with their online banking. If you've not done it, need it. It makes life so simple. Virtual wallet is outstanding. Also, number one, Cochran. Many, many dealerships throughout the Western Pennsylvania and Ohio area. Shop in style, ride in style with number one Cochran. Go one better and join us for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night and every Sunday night, 11:35 is that number. Doug in Bethel Park has been waiting a while. Appreciate your patience, Doug, and what's going on?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bob. Happy New Year, you and your family.
You too.
And, I totally agree with you with Kansas City. Until somebody takes them out, they are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. My question for you is, if things start to go sideways tonight and they cannot move the ball on offense, seeing the Cincinnati's defense has gotten a lot better, will they switch to Justin Fields?
You know, that's a question we bandied about, Doug, because I think, they may be inclined to do that, especially if things aren't working well and there's pressure up the middle or whatever, or Wilson gets sacked or I don't know. I don't think they want to do that, but if they're down and they need a spark, I would never rule that out, because I think he can do that in a lot of different ways.
Well, they're going to know what happens with Baltimore before the game starts.
Right.
So one way or the other, they know that they're going to have the 3 seed or they're going to have to play for the 5 seed. And if they have to play for that 5 seed, they better win this game, because if they have to go to Baltimore, they will get boat raced right out of the playoffs, one and done again.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a long shot. If they drop lower, they can go to the 6th seed. It probably won't happen, but they could.
Correct. But I think Justin Fields is the long-term answer. I would re-sign him, because you see all these quarterbacks in the NFL now. You got Sam Darnold. You have all these guys that were high-round picks that went to these different teams. Baker Mayfield, they didn't give him a shot in Cleveland, and he threw 5 touchdown passes last week. Justin Fields gets in the right place, gets settled, gets coached. I think he will prove that he is a top-5 talent.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out there who are in your camp here, Doug, just because of his abilities and the fact that he's been in a bad system in Chicago, which changed coordinators every single year, head coaches every single year, I think it did have an effect on him. I like what he did here in the first six games. I do think there was still more for him to give or more to show. If they believe longer term that he could be their answer, that might be something they do. Again, the plan to me, though, is they wanted Wilson here for a reason, and I still think that they'll end up trying to get him to sign something 2 or 3 years.
But they got Russ. They got Russ here for the reason he was injured to begin the season, and now he gets under pressure, and he is not Justin Fields. He cannot get a. The pressure is getting adjusted to Russell Wilson now. I have a strange feeling Cincinnati's going to blitz 50 to 60% of the game, and Russell Wilson's going to be running for his life because they know the Steelers' receiver core is not what it's supposed up to been the last couple of years.
Yeah, but they also know that the Steelers have scored points on them. And last year at a game here in Pittsburgh, it was George Pickens who had over 200 yards receiving. So, you know,
I remember that, correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, it depends on how this thing goes. If the wind picks up, it could be a problem also in terms of passing the football. But, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. And I think Justin Fields, if you're looking for greater upside and potential to find your answer that goes beyond 2 or 3 years, because in 2 or 3 years, you're going to have to readdress this situation one way or the other again. And Justin Fields won't be here for that. He'll be someplace else, you think. It just depends on what they think of his potential and his ceiling. If they believe they can get more out of it, and I think they got more than Chicago did out of six games, then they may consider that. But these are all going to be determined here in what should be a very busy offseason.
One other thing I'll let you go. Is that Cincinnati's running back, that kid Brown.
Chase Brown. Yeah, he's 10 yards away. I don't know. He's questionable. And I get the feeling they were going to try to figure him out today and make a decision. It's supposed to be game time. I think Higgins is going to play. That kid's been good. He almost has 1,000 yards, you know, a fifth-round draft pick. And
but just cold weather and that ankle.
Yeah, I know, but they have nothing. They got to win. So if you're close or if you're able to, I think it's all hands on deck for them tonight.
All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, Doug, thank you. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. David in Youngstown joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, David. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Bob, and thanks for taking my call. Great show.
Sure.
Great show. Real quick about college football. I've been watching the playoffs, and, you know, I'm a former Pitt player, so I'm a Panther. And I'm just curious. My question for you is, what is missing from the Pitt program that you see at Indiana, at SMU, Arizona State, you know, make the playoffs? You know, when I played, we had some great talent, and you know, people talk about the on-campus stadium and what have you. And we competed with Penn State. And we had some great battles with them. What is missing with Pitt football that, you know, you see Arizona State or Boise make the playoffs, but Pitt, for some reason, you know, can't compete?
Well, I think it's, first of all, you got to get consistent play at quarterback. But I also think in this day and age, are you talking about right now in the NIL world that we live in?
Yes, I mean, even right now, I mean, Arizona State, Boise, Indiana, I mean, is it that much difference as far as money?
Well, those conferences are different. I think those conferences. Now, the ACC of all of them was the most disappointing. I don't know what their bowl record was. It was horrible, though. I think it was like 2-12 teams in the ACC did not do well. And the fact that both of them that were in the playoff got eliminated quickly. I think just Pitt, it's to me, very difficult to attract top-notch talent here, especially now if you're going to have to pay it. They have a problem with resources. I just saw that Magic Johnson was willing to give Michigan State as much as they wanted to improve their NIL get in terms of, you know, their Spartan basketball team. You got to have really deep-pocketed guys who are willing to spend, and if you could throw that out there, it could help. Beyond that, Pat Narduzzi was brought here as a defensive coordinator, and their defenses have not been very good, generally. I think they got to improve a lot, but a lot of that is talent. A lot of that is in this day and age now, man, every year you got to bring in a whole new roster of teams. It's very difficult if a team like Pitt, there are a lot of teams like Pitt who just can't take that next step because of the resources that may not be available to them.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you think Eli Holstein is going to do? Has he made up his mind? Have I missed something there, Joel? I haven't seen a word.
Coming back.
Is he said he's coming back? Okay. How much is that going to cost? Dave, when you played, what was it like when you played? And I'm not trying to get you to share any crazy secrets here, but, you know, the money now is flowing everywhere, maybe so much so that it needs to be harnessed a little bit.
Yeah, the top-notch players, you know, under the table may have been getting some things, you know, but overall, talent-wise, like I said, I mean, late 80s, early 90s, we had some talent. We had some dogs, man. So, now, again, NIL may be a difference there. But, you know, you're looking at roster construction. Penn State has 16 Whip-Hill players, and they're getting some studs coming in next year.
That's a whole different topic, and I think James Franklin has out-recruited everyone in this area.
Right.
He always does, and there's a lot to sell up there.
Yeah, they got the Aliquippa kid coming in. They got Sieg from Fort Cherry. I mean, we got kids in our own backyard that won't go to Pitt for some reason. But, again, man, I'm a Pitt guy, and I love Pitt football. I would just like Arizona, Indiana, a basketball school for some reason. Now, I know they're Big Ten, but come on, man. You know, so hopefully we get there. Coaching-wise, Narduzzi, he's a Youngstown guy, man. I say that's my dog, but I don't know, man.
Well, and you know, they signed him for a long term. That's one thing I think has changed. As much as the NIL player stuff has changed, I think as an administrator now, you would never need to sign a coach. Like they just did in Indiana, Cignetti. I don't know if Cignetti can replicate what he did next year or the year after, but he got a big contract as a result of 1 year. I don't think you need to do that anymore because coaches come and go anyway. Why would you want to put yourself in a position where you got to pay somebody $70 million to leave? You know?
Right.
A buyout. I would just go, listen, I said, if you're in my program, prove to me. I'll give you 2 years and we'll go from there. It'll be highly paid, but I'm not going to owe you any future money if I want to make a change. I don't know if that's going to change at all, but do you like it the way it is, David? Since you're a former player, I'd like to get your take on this because I think it's out of control right now.
As far as players getting
As far
paid?
As the way it is, yeah. I mean, the fact that these guys can be transferred now, there used to be a – now it's just you can go anywhere you want. Guys have 5, 6, 7. I saw a guy just had 9-year career in college football.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. But I tell you what, the transfer portal, I really don't have an issue with because I've been there, man, where a new coach comes in or a coach brings in his recruits and you're kind of like left out to dry, man. So back in the day.
Paying you enough now. And that's open territory, right?
Well, again. Coaches can't have it both ways. They can't complain that that the transfer portal's in there while their cohorts are poaching their players. You know what I mean?
No, I get it. No, I'm saying, but the point is you have to re-recruit every year now. So if you're lacking in that department to begin with and if you don't have the funds, and I think more now than ever, the money is more important than anything else. You know, these guys are going to go where the money is.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I mean – I am in favor of the portal. I mean,
I don't have a problem with the portal. I don't like the fact that you could use it every single year at your, you know, beck and call. Just leave anytime you want because you're not getting enough money. Something has to be done there. Yeah. Otherwise, this is going to be way out of control.
Right. However, if you see a coach if you see a player that's bouncing around year to year as a coach, would you want that kid? I wouldn't want that kid on my roster because, like you said,
can't guarantee he's going to stay though. Like, okay, if Holstein's staying fine, they have other guys on that roster who may be, you know, looking for more money. If they can't get it and they feel like that's something they deserve, they're going to leave. I just think it makes it much more difficult on head coaches and their ability to keep players after they recruit them once. You're going to have to re-recruit them or go someplace else. And, again, most of them are one-year deals. I don't think it goes beyond that.
Yeah, that's true, Bob. But at the same time, the Washington coach take his team to the championship, and then he bounces for Alabama. So sometimes, man, you know,
DeBoer did that, you know, and coaches do. I get it. It should be a two-way street. I think it is developing into a two-way street. It's just there needs to be some sort of guideline in it to make it work so that everyone – but I don't think you're ever going to get a chance where everything's equal anymore. It just doesn't happen.
I agree.
But anyway, thanks for the conversation, Dave. I appreciate it, man. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Pitt basketball on their way to hopefully a 12-2 start. They take on Stanford later tonight. That game is a 6:30 start time. Also, the Penguins, they have a game coming up against Carolina now. They won last night, they lost. They got a point last night against Florida, which to me is a step in the right direction. They had chances to win that game, but they go to a shootout and they end up losing that thing. But I see advancement there. They're in a playoff position as we speak right now. Hopefully they'll be in one so we have something to talk about as we get into April and May. We're due for a break, 412-928-9370. Again, coming up at the top of the hour, it's Donnie Football with Mark Caboli, Jason Mackey over at the Rivers Casino getting set for the Steelers and the Bengals. The Bengals still favored in this game by 2 points. What will it take for the Steelers to win this game, and how important is it for them to win this game knowing that they can, you know, again, we'll find out at 4:30 what Baltimore does. But do you expect Baltimore to lose? No. 96% chance, according to these metrics, Joel. The only thing is, will they cover? If you're making a bet on that, that's a lot of points. You can see some late game kind of, okay, I'll surrender a touchdown because I don't care to cover back, a back cover for Cleveland. Would you bet that if you had to bet it?
For the Browns game today?
Yeah, would you take the 20?
I think so, because it's just that big, you know?
Yeah.
Unless the Ravens win this thing like 34-7.
Yeah, but I think 20 points is a lot of points. Anytime I see that many, I'm tempted to go with it, regardless of the team I'm betting on. They're not good. They should lose. They should want to lose because where they are in this NFL draft status right now. Anyway, we're due for a break. We'll take it right here. I want to remind you, our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Number one Cochran. Go one better. Ride in style with number one Cochran. Back with more up until 3 o'clock. Bob Pompeiani Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Kickoff tonight at 8 o'clock, Acrisure Stadium. The Steelers trying to end a three-game losing skid, taking on Cincinnati. Bengals are two-point favorites and are desperate. Give them credit. They were 3-8 at one point of this season. They fought their way back to where they are right now, which is in a position where if they win, they need some help. The Steelers have certainly been in that position before over the years, where they have to go and need some help, and they would need it in the form of specifically Denver losing to Kansas City, which could happen. I think Denver's favored in that game. Just because of the fact that I think odds makers know that, you know, guys like Kelsey and Mahomes probably won't play a lot. That's an interesting debate, though, Joel. If you're Andy Reid, they played last Wednesday, right? And so counting this week and then an off week, it's going to be almost a month before they actually play a significant game. Now, we've seen instances of this over the years where it's been good and bad. What do you think? Do you think it'll affect Kansas City at all or no? Maybe that's just much ado about nothing.
Well, Kansas City is Kansas City, and I hope this isn't apples to oranges, but I mean, all of the college football playoff teams that had byes, they all lost games,
that's a good
you
point.
Know? So that raises that topic a little bit. What I would do if I was Coach Reed, I think I'd have those guys play maybe one or two drives so that they're still just a little bit fresh and still in some form of game action instead of this, 25 or so days between one game to another, the most important game of their season coming up later this month. I would have them play a drive or two, whatever they want to do.
Sort of like a preseason game. Just give them a couple of takes. And
it's what Buffalo's going to do against the Patriots tomorrow.
Right. A little bit of taste and then move on. But I think it is important to have a little bit of action. Some people look at that and think differently and think you're putting your players at risk. You put them all over. Guys get injured in practice day in and day out, it seems. So 412-928-9370. Let's go on out to Cannonsburg right now. Rick is on the line. Hello, Rick. Welcome to 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Pompinator. Happy New Year, brother.
Thanks, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bob. Hey, Bob, just two quick points I want to make, because I think a lot of your earlier callers made some very good points regarding Tomlin. And I like to view this very objectively when it comes to him, because I do, to your point as well, I want to give credit where it's due. I think he had a lot of success during the turmoil with like the Duck Hodges year and was able to rebound. But I mean, I think as a fan, I think we're all just starting to deal with like kind of the fatigue and the complaint, the complacency with the organization. And and on a personal note, like watching Hard Knocks and some of the press conferences, I think the well compensated statement that he made, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, what say you at this point?
Well, I mean, first of all, in those situations, aside from that comment you just spoke of, Tomlin always looks really good. He's a master of how he had to express himself in a way that some of these guys have never heard. But with regard to overall coaching, and this is my assessment and has been for a long time, I still think Mike is a very smart football man. He knows a lot about it. He knows how to motivate players, I think, although this goes against what we've been seeing in the first quarter of games. You would think that that's going to be the time where you can come out and strategize and come out with your best offensive first 15 plays coming out cold, because they don't know what you're going to do, and you can look at certain weaknesses. But, overall, his coaching staffs in general have not been very good. I go back to the Matt Canada situation. There was really no good reason to hire him. unless you want to be still in charge of calling certain plays or being in charge of that offense, even though you're not the play caller, but you can dictate how things are gone. And the same may be true all the way through. There is significance to the fact that that so-called coaching tree hasn't had any branches. But I look at New England's coaching tree under Bill Belichick, most of those branches were not very productive branches. Those guys who left him didn't do all that well on a regular basis. So that would be my number one thing is just, you got to figure out a way to get more vision here, when it comes to whether it's play calling on offense or schemes on defense and when you put those things on there. Having said that, you mentioned, Rick, about fans. Fans are fans. They're always going to want more. We've seen this with Mike Sullivan. These guys are really good coaches. There are a lot of guys out there who are good coaches. But at some point, if you don't put up the kind of wins in the postseason, then you get criticized, and you will get criticized. We've seen it with James Franklin. We've seen it with Ryan Day. We've seen it with a lot of coaches. Some organizations are quick to immediately move on. That can be risky. It also can be good. In Philadelphia, they've gone away from Andy Reid twice. And they turn things around. So it's just about but for me personally, it's just about upgrading coaching positions. That's all, more than anything else.
That's a great point, Bob. And I guess, just real quick, you mentioned Andy Reid. And would you say at this juncture with Tomlin's career with the Steelers, is it comparable to how Andy Reid was with Philadelphia? Because I certainly do.
Yes. He didn't win the Super Bowl. He did get to an NFC championship game. Tomlin early on in his career had a lot of that. And, I'm not one, I don't know how you are, but I'm not one to just say strictly it's because of Cowher's players. Listen, you had carryover no matter who you were. You're going to have a roster. Now, is there a criticism to have Ben Roethlisberger all those years subsequently and not win playoff games or not as many as you would like? Yes. I think that's true. The expectations are high, and that's why you try to meet them. And I think this year we'll see what they do in the postseason, but I think it's incumbent upon them to not only get in, they are in. It's to win wherever that first game is. And I don't care if it's in Baltimore or Houston, you got to win it.
You're the man. Thanks, Bob.
All right, Rick, appreciate the call. 412-928-9370. As we are getting closer to the top of the line with Fan Game Day at the Rivers Casino, let's go out to the Strip District. Gary joins us right now. I'm sure the Strip District is buzzing today, or at least it should be. I love going down there, Gary, and I don't know if you're there for food or whatever you're there for, but it's a great place to hang out.
Oh yeah, we're out here getting some fish here. So, but anyway, hey, Bob, you're the best. I just want to bring up, I know Andy Reid. You take Russell Wilson and you take Pat Patrick off of that team, or if you switch them. Mike Tomlin has done a great job. This team, look at the other teams that have lost their franchise quarterbacks. The Saints have lost Breeze whenever he was gone. The New England whenever Brady's gone. I mean, the list goes down the line. And Tomlin has kept his team very strong. And he's kept them very strong. And he can only coach the talent that he has. So.
Well, no, and listen, I think there's a lot to be said for keeping teams competitive every single year. And I know that's an old thing here that people get tired of, but it is true. You keep them competitive despite the turbulence that's involved. But I also know that he has a heavy hand in who he drafts and what he brings in here, and he's the guy who does have input there. So I thought it was a bold move by the entire organization to just get rid of everybody in the quarterback room and start over there. But even that comes with, okay, how far does this go? How far do you keep Wilson? Can he be productive? And if not, what do you let Fields go? Can Fields turn into something? There's so many questions.
Bob, I think Fields, and I like him. He's good. He's a backup. He's like Kenny Pickett. He waits too long to throw to guys. He doesn't take 1, 2, 3 throw. And at this point of his career, you can only blame coaches and things for so long. And he's a nice backup, but he isn't the answer here.
Well, I will tell you this, and thank you for the call, Gary. I hope you had some good fish down there because they're great places to go. But, Justin Fields also could be like Sam Darnold. You put him in a system that really is work. I don't know. People were down on Sam Darnold. How many places did he go to? He and Baker Mayfield were both in Carolina at one point at the same time. Both are no longer there, and both are doing well, to the point where I thought Baker Mayfield should have been a Pro Bowl player. And Darnold could be an MVP of the league based on the numbers. Now, the right situation helps players, make no mistake about it. And I'm just wondering, Justin Fields has a kind of talent that makes me really curious about what he could turn into down the road. And I say that knowing that he's a 25-year-old kid, whatever he is, versus a 37-year-old next year Russell Wilson will be. So I think that's part of the equation as well. Real quick, one final car. It's out to Hopewell, my own stomping grounds. We got Chris in Hopewell Township. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Bob. You're a legend over in Hopewell and Pittsburgh. We love you here. Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of people are down on the Steelers, and I get it. I know. But it seems, you know, about a month ago, people were saying they could go to the Super Bowl and all that, and things changed, you know, with the three losses, and they were pretty bad. But if we play with Houston, and we have a chance with them because they're horrible too, and then, you know, anything can happen in football when you get in the playoffs. So who knows? They could even go to the AFC Championship. So I'm looking optimistic.
Right? Well, I had a conversation with Tony Romo. Chris, thanks for the call when he was in town. And at the time, he thought the Steelers had enough to be a Super Bowl contending team. And I realized those three losses changed everything. But if you go back and analyze the losses, okay, first of all, the Baltimore game was down to, if Wilson doesn't fumble when he did, and of course the defense could have helped him, and then they didn't, 96-yard drive the other way, it's a 14-point swing, but even late in the game, he had an opportunity with the ball in his hands to tie the game, and they threw a pick six, and that ended everything. So that game was, the only one that was really out of control to me was the Kansas City game, where I thought they were completely outclassed in every possible way. Kansas City came here, dictated terms. You can tell, you know, that they had control of this game from the start, and that's the only one. So, having said that, you got to win a playoff game this year. I really believe they have to, just for their own growth. Last year, to get into the playoffs, they were competitive to a degree with Buffalo. This year, get in, win one, and hopefully put it, you know, be in contention for the next one after that. But that's it starts tonight by playing better, and they have to do better against the Cincinnati team. It's a desperate team. It's going to be a good test for them, no doubt. And we'll see what their defense can do against Joe Burrow, who's as hot as it can be. Again, a four-person race, I think, for MVP of this league. It's Josh Allen. It's Lamar Jackson. I'm going to ask you, I'll put you on the spot here, Joel. I made my announcement on this the other day, because, and I think it's very close. I think Saquon Barkley, Allen, Jackson, and Joe Burrow should be in this conversation. Who would be your MVP pick of those four?
It's really tough.
It is.
Because, like, the betting favorite, I think Josh Allen is that. Right now, if it was a deep dive into everything, you know, you would think it's Joe Burrow, right? Just the way he's had to put the team on his back, and it's unfortunate that they've had a really brutal defense and have lost a bunch of really close games, but the heater that Joe Burrow is on right now is quite something.
So, in your mind, he should not be responsible for being on a bad team. In other words, he's been the reason they've gone from 3-8 to where they are, won 4 in a row, and he shouldn't be penalized for being on a team like this. A lot of people believe you got to be a playoff team to be in consideration for MVP. I happen not to be one of them. I look at it individually in each case. Now, Barkley, you know, I hate to think that a running back is disqualified because he's a running back, but he is, essentially. If he doesn't win this award this year, no running back ever will win it. They should maybe change the name of it, because that's a once-in-a-generation type of effort that he put out this year as a running back. I know it's 17 games versus 14 the way Eric Dickerson did it, or whatever it was, 16. But still, there's a place for that, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting vote. There are a lot of interesting votes coming up. Joel, appreciate it as always for you navigating us through this thing. And I want to thank all the callers. And hopefully, if you're on your way to Acrisure Stadium, you bundle up, because it is going to be cold. There'll be some tailgate action down there. Hope to be hitting one of them myself. I hope they have some hot cider and spike it a little bit, whatever that may be. I want to thank you for joining me here. And once again, thank you to our sponsors, PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865, and number one Cochran, drive in style and go one better, and watch the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. That's tomorrow night, 11:35 on KDKA. Coming up next, we're going to go to the Rivers Casino for Fan Game Day, anchored by Donnie Football, flanked by Jason Mackey and Mark Caboli. It's all right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.